Like, it actually felt like if I had continued online dating strangers, who I would have to question the same question, do I tell them now on date number one, or do I allow them to see the story online without me telling them?
Welcome to The Zoo, a podcast miniseries about online dating. I'm Sophie Nikitas. This episode deals with dating online after experiencing trauma. It contains frank discussions of sexual violence, so please do what's best for you when you decide whether or not to keep listening. Here's Sarah.
Dating has so dramatically changed in the 10 years that I've been dating in my life. I didn't date at all in high school. I was a total nerd. I didn't even get asked to my high school prom. I met Alec Neal in the spring of 2014, and we dated for 7 months or so. A relationship that I would have considered to be one of the most serious relationships that I've ever had. The relationship that I probably felt most strongly would end in us getting married. I had learned things about him later on in the relationship that just clued me in that, like, this was not the person that I wanted to commit to. Anyway, after I broke up with him, things started to escalate, and he showed threatening behavior. He threatened suicide. I don't know. I don't really feel like repeating every detail, if that's okay. While I was on vacation with my mom, he had broken into my apartment, hid in my closet, and so when I arrived home, he was there, and I didn't know that. And he waited in that closet for hours. I had no idea. I went to sleep. He woke me up with, you know, a knife from my butcher block on my neck and raped me in my bedroom and then in my living room. And then at some point that night, he told me to get dressed. So I knew I was being taken somewhere. I started to plan. I felt like I needed to escape. And in my closet, I was living in like a historic mansion that had been converted into different apartments and condos. In my closet, I had a door that led to the common hallway in the building. And so as I got dressed, I started to think, I'm going to leave through this door. And when he turned to get dressed, I opened that door and bolted and screamed at the top of my lungs, call the police, call the police. Alec fled the scene, and my neighbors called the police, and I was filing a criminal report for sexual assault in the first degree. That night, Alec was arrested and held in custody, and would never leave custody, actually. He was sentenced to 12 years in prison. I was also newly single, also as a person who had just recently been raped. And I wanted to get back into dating. I felt like that would feel good for me. So I went online dating, and I went on to OkCupid. People were pretty shocked when I said, like, oh, I'm dating, or like, oh, I'm going on dates. And people were pretty surprised by that. But again, it's like, although it happens to strangers, although it happens in this context, you know, it's more often than not people we know and trust, which I think adds to the pain of betrayal, and it makes you question who else in your life will inevitably hurt you. I mean, like, that's the mentality that I felt like I developed around that. Like, I trusted everyone, and then this person who I thought loved me did something so awful, and then it made me question who else that tells me they love me will hurt me like this, or hurt me in another way that will shatter my sense of trust. I remember I went on one particular date that stands out for me, and it was a person who was a stranger. We met up in a public restaurant, and which felt fine for me. He seemed like a really nice person, and at that point, when I'm sitting there at dinner having a conversation with him and recognizing that I either have to tell this person on the first date that I've just been raped and publicly told my story, or I get to pretend like I'm normal and like this didn't just happen and that he might later Google my name or find me on Facebook and learn my story that way. And that choice felt like such an unfair thing. I mean, even I had chosen to speak out publicly, it still felt so awful to realize that maybe the stigma that I faced the most was that in the context of dating, and particularly in the context of dating strangers who I don't know where they're coming from on this kind of scale of being an ally for survivors of sexual violence. So it became very uncomfortable for me. I chose to tell him on the date that I had been raped and that I had spoken out and that he could look at the story or read about it if he chose to by Googling my name. He actually said the best thing that I think anyone could say when someone talks about it, or at least to me, and that was, "I'm sorry that happened to you." And it was just so validating and compassionate. And then he asked some questions about, not about the experience of being assaulted itself, but rather of what it's been like or why I chose to publicly speak out about it. And he's kind of shown up as a male ally in my life. I actually found it much more nerve-wracking to tell a man that I didn't want to date him than to actually go on a date, because what I've experienced is that the most dangerous time as a woman is when you're rejecting a man or turning a man down from something that they want. So there were definitely people who I, you know, had a date or two with, and they would reach back to me and, "Hey, when do you want to see each other next?" And I became much more afraid of saying, "I don't want to date you," or "No, thank you." So saying no became a lot harder than saying yes. I also remember online being on OkCupid and having someone then recognize me as the person from the Star Tribune article that had just been released. And he wrote to me and he's like, I don't think we're looking for the same things. I don't think we would mesh. But he's like, "But what you're doing is really amazing and keep up the good work." I started to recognize that it felt right for me to go on dates with people that I knew, who knew my story, and that I wouldn't have to explain it to them, that when they chose to go out with me, that they knew they were going out with a rape survivor. And it became almost like a filter system. It's like, okay, who are the people who are not going to stigmatize me? And I want to go out with those people. So I ended up connecting with a man who I had met a few years ago from through a friend. And we hadn't talked in years. And so when I saw him or his profile pop up, I liked it or whatever. I don't know. And it sparked a message to me. And I'll never forget that in the first message he wrote, he said something like, "I've also seen your story, seen something that you've gone through recently, and I want you to know I'm on your side." It felt so good to be able to kind of see this person and recognize a person and know that this would be this would be someone I could trust. It's ironic though, because of course, like, the person who raped me is someone I deeply trusted. So there's still always that question that lingers, but I do really feel so much trust for him. And for some reason, it just felt so much easier to date someone that I already knew and was acquainted with and who had mutual friends that I felt would, in a way, hold people accountable to their best behavior. We've been dating for almost a year, I guess. So it's going really well. If you've ever been on a date with a woman, it's a 1 in 5 chance that you've been on a date with a rape survivor. And if you've been on dates with 5 women at different points, it's like 100% chance that you've been on a date with a rape survivor. So I know that the person that I've been dating has dealt with, you know, questions from his friends of like, oh, what's it like? Or is it a problem? Or does this get in the way? And, you know, I get angry thinking that because, like, they've probably dated and been sexually intimate with other survivors and just had no clue. So next Saturday is the 2-year marker of my rape. And last year at this time, it really felt like I was reliving it, like, day to day. Everything, every day, I felt like I was right back in that situation. And it's almost like I was afraid he'd, like, break out of prison and do it all over again, you know, on the same day. I don't feel that way this year. And I think that's a really healthy sign for me to feel like, I don't think it's the time that healed. I think it's the number of people who've shown up for me as predictable and trustworthy people who offer me choices with the ability to opt out. And that's really why I feel like this year I feel like I'm in a different place. But it wasn't time alone that helped me heal.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Zoo. Sarah is the founder of Break the Silence, an organization that's fighting rape culture in some really innovative ways. They're really cool, and you can check them out at breakthesilence.org.